This is East End Inc. The 2014 Gaza War was a military operation launched by Israel on July the 8th in the Hamas-ruled Gaza Strip after rocket fire from Gaza struck Israel. In August 2014, as the war continued, East End writers and friends met to exchange thoughts, poetry, and prayers at Incarnation Lutheran Church in Watermill. The program was organized by poet Pamela Kalamanis and poet, teacher, and activist Kathy Engel. It was hosted by Incarnation Minister Reverend Katrina Foster. Here is Kathy Engel.
I wanted to share with you two quotes to begin with. One is from the poet June Jordan from an essay called Life After Lebanon. She said, "As a child, I was taught that to tell the truth was often painful. As an adult, I have learned that not to tell the truth is more painful, and that the fear of telling the truth, whatever the truth may be, that fear is the most painful sensation of a moral life." And then this quote from Susan Sontag, "No we should be taken for granted when the subject is looking at other people's pain." I'm going to begin with a poem by the poet Mahmoud Darwish, who was kind of considered the national poet of Palestine. In this hymn, we lay a dream in the horseman's heart. We raise his last shirt, a victory sign, and hold a key to the last door. We enter the first sea. Peace be unto you, brother of this place that is no place. Peace be unto your feet. Shepherds won't notice your eyes twinkling in the soil. Peace be unto your arms. The sand grouse will flutter here again. Peace be unto your lips. Prayers will flower in the field. What can we say to the embers of your eyes? What will absence tell your mother? He slept well? What will the invaders say? We conquered the clouds speaking in August. What does life say to Mahmoud Darwish? You lived, fell in love, learned, and all those you will finally love are dead? In this hymn, we lay a dream, we raise a victory sign, we hold a key to the last door. To lock ourselves in a dream. But we will survive because life is life." That's Mahmoud Darwish. "Where," and it's for Suher, dear friend. "The message comes through AOL.com, finds me off balance in a small school in Jersey, snow puffing down, my head turning in stresses and IMs I don't really get. No newspaper in sight. Hi, love," the message reads, "thinking of you, in London, heart, in Gaza." Unsigned, I know the email address like my own name. Reply too quickly, no words in the text, then correct my mistake. "Love," I write, "yes, heart, in Gaza." I don't know what else to say. Is there a poem in Gaza that hasn't been written? "I know you're Palestinian," he said to me. "I know you are. A man in the Daisha camp. Guards questioned me at the Tel Aviv airport. Where did we go? Did we visit a mosque, a synagogue? Did I eat the poems of Darwish? Drink coffee he brewed, each grain an oud? Standing at his window of fire, my tax dollars shining through. In my suitcase I wrapped shards of a bulldozed home. The only teacup, flew back a dirty gull with a passport. Each story contraband, whispering, look at my skin, listen to my face, we are related. I rub olive oil on arms, belly, neck, soak bread in it. I had to see for myself, after Seder's bitter herbs, taste the lie. Now I understand," my mother said. "Now I understand. Reading my journey, Jewish girl, promised land, betrayal." I'm just going to read a few selections that are from the poet Natalie Handel. confessions at mid-range. My heart has telescopes, my eyes have invisible streets. My portrait is of a nation with 100 square feet of clouds. Maybe God is a country my eyes can't see. Exit song from the Gaza box. To peel off what only you could have engraved. To dig for songs in songs you will never find. To steal faces that don't belong to you. To find what you thought was danger. To break doors made of clouds. To tear stillness from a crib. To watch a wounded man look for someone he loves. Head after head after heads. Bodies elsewhere, elsewhere. To watch a sister sew a sister. To walk through graves and more graves that will respond quietly with their silence. There is nothing like a death that won't go away. Poem by Muriel Rukeyser. I always come to this poem, but I came to it again last weekend after a few of us were trying to figure out how to be present, how to be visible in our community, and struggling, you know, what should the sign say? Can we agree? And it was a very hard process, I think, for some of us, as it has always been. And I returned to this poem by Muriel Rukeyser, written in a time of another war, long ago, a war that this country was waging. And I just thought it spoke to the moment in certain ways, that sometimes you don't need to agree on what the signs say. And the doctor in the poem is Benjamin Spock, by the way. We all traveled into that big room, some from very far away. We smiled at some we knew. We did not, as we talked, agree. Our hearts went fast, thinking of morning when we would walk along the path. We spoke, late night, we disagreed. We knew we would climb the Senate steps. We knew we would present our claim. We would demand, be strong now, end the war. How would we do it? What would we ask? We will be warned, one said. They will warn us and take us. We can speak and walk away. We can lie down as if in mourning. We can lie down as a way of speech, speaking of all the dead in Asia. Then Iqbal said, we are not at this moment a revolutionary group. We are a group of dissenters. Let some then walk away. Let some stand until they want to leave. Let some lie down and let some be arrested. Some of us. Let each do what he feels at that moment tomorrow. Iqbal's dark face. The doctor spoke of friendships made in jail. We looked into each other's eyes and went all to our rooms to sleep, waiting for morning.
This is East End, Inc. We're listening to excerpts from a program dedicated to the victims of the 2014 Gaza War. It was recorded at Incarnation Lutheran Church in Mortar Mill, New York, in August 2014. Here is Pamela Kalamanis.
June Jordan, The Cedar Trees of Lebanon. Bursting soft but kept by the structure of a spine, the green parts of the tree cloud under the clouds. Under the axe, the branches bleed red dust. The tree bleeds red. The blood of the cedar is a red blood, red body enfolded by unmistakable brown skin. At the end of this century, massacre remains invisible unless the victim's skin reads white. Night air and the smoke from the chimney puffs into a humid atmosphere obsessed by particles from burned up cedar trees, a smell so defiantly sweet the stars freeze to resist that violent and swollen odor of a life transformed by fire. At the end of this century, massacre becomes a cluster of phosphorus events described by a woman carrying a mattress on her head without a destination. At the end of the century, a girl stands her ground next to a tree, the Cedrus Libani. Then the thunder does not shake, that the lightning cannot strike down. Perhaps no poem, but all I can say, and I cannot be silent. Denise Levertov. As a devout Christian, my father took delight and pride in being, like Christ and the apostles, a Jew. It was Hasidic lore, his heritage, he drew on to know the Holy Spirit as Shekinah. My Gentile mother, Welsh through and through, and like my father, sustained by deep faith, cherished all her long life the words of Israel Zangwill, who told her, "You have a Jewish soul." I, their daughter, flesh of their flesh, bone of their bone, writing in this age of terror, a libretto about El Salvador, the suffering, the martyrs. Look from my page to watch the apportioned news, those foul dollops of history each day thrust at us, pushing them into our gullets, and see that in Lebanon, so-called Jews have permitted so-called Christians to wreak pogrom, thunder of devastation on helpless folk of a tribe anciently kin to their own and now concentrated in camps. My father, my mother, I have longed for you. Now I see. It is well you are dead. Dead. And gone from time, gone from this time, whose weight of shame your bones weary already from your own days and years of tragic history could surely not have borne. June Jordan, The Cedar Trees of Lebanon. Bursting soft but kept by the structure of a spine, the green parts of the tree cloud under the clouds. Under the axe, the branches bleed red dust. The tree bleeds red. The blood of the cedar is a red blood, red body enfolded by unmistakable brown skin. At the end of this century, massacre remains invisible unless the victim's skin reads white. Night air and the smoke from the chimney puffs into a humid atmosphere, obsessed by particles from burned up cedar trees, a smell so defiantly sweet, the stars freeze to resist that violent and swollen odor of a life transformed by fire. At the end of this century, massacre becomes a cluster of phosphorus events described by a woman carrying a mattress on her head without a destination. At the end of this century, a girl stands her ground next to a tree, the Cedrus Libani. Then the thunder does not shake, that the lightning cannot strike down.
Blossoms. Don't think for a blue minute peace lies in dreamy eyes of smiling Buddha blinking across a field of pink blossoms. Peace is no quaint scene, not warm aroma of homemade cookies, nor sound of luggage placed on holy ground. Peace is a constant motion, careful balance, endless vigil, rush of a purposeful journey. Walking through bright hallways of quiet building where well-dressed people shuffle calmly past each day is not peace. Peace is a man in wooden shoes who looks up at lights to uncover their poison. Peace is courage to speak out, shatter comfort, demand justice. Peace is not the people around you suddenly linking arms and taking up song. Peace is the cumbersome process of controlling your temper to smile at ornery colleagues and small children who contradict you. That Buddha is not napping in his field of delicate blossoms. He's resting from a conflict resolution conference with his roommate. He is considering the next move he will make to stir petals into beauty. Wake up to the people around you, he calls. Steady yourself for a long life of patience, sincere communication, bravery, love. When you hear him, you will notice the vital piece of an artist's hands working paint onto the huge canvas.
This poem is by Remy Kanizai, Poetic Injustice, a poem for Gaza. I never knew death until I saw the bombing of a refugee camp. Craters filled with dismembered legs and splattered torsos, and no sign of a face, the only impression of a fading scream. I never understood pain until a 7-year-old girl clutched my hand, stared up at me with soft brown eyes, waiting for answers. I didn't have any. I had muted the breath and dried pens in my back pocket that couldn't fill pages of understanding or resolution. In the other hand, she held a key to her grandmother's house, but I couldn't unlock the cell that caged her older brothers. They said, "We slingshot dreams so that the other side will feel our father's presence." A craftsman built homes in areas where no one was building when he fell. Silence. A 50 caliber bullet tore through his neck, shredding his vocal cords, too close to the wall. His hammer must have been a weapon. He must have been a weapon, encroaching on a settlement hills and demographics. So his daughter studies mathematics. 7 explosions times 8 bodies equals 4 congressional resolutions. 7 Apache helicopters times 8 Palestinian villagers equals silence and a second Nakba. Our birthplace minus their birthplace equals 1 sea and 400 villages re-erected. 1 state plus 2 people, and she can't stop crying. Never knew revolution or the proper equation. Tears at the paper with her fingertips. Searching for answers, but only has teachers. Looks up to the sky to see Stars of David demolishing squalor with hellfire missiles. She thinks back words and memories of his last hug before he turned and fell. Now she pumps dirty water from wells while settlements divide and conquer her father's killer. "This is our land," she says. She's 7 years old. "This is our land." She doesn't need history books or a schoolroom teacher. She has these walls, this sky, her refugee camp. She doesn't know the proper equation, but she sees my dry pens, no longer waiting for my answers, just holding her grandmother's key, searching for ink.
This is East End Ink. We heard Kimberly Wilder and Sigrid Meinel in this program dedicated to the victims of the 2014 Gaza War. Next, hear a writer and playwright, Claire Koss, and historian Blanche Wiesen-Cook.
Hi, I'm Claire, and I want to read an excerpt from a letter to the editor that our Israeli friend, Rochama Marton, wrote. She is the founder and president of Physicians for Human Rights in Israel. Very courageous woman. And there was an article in a journal called The Lancet. They gave a place for which she was grateful for people to write about Gaza, who were concerned about Gaza. And I wrote to her that I would be reading this here today, and she was so happy her voice would be part of our spirit and light that we're bringing to each other. There are a lot of angry voices in Israel and worldwide against Paola Manduka and colleagues' letter and the editors of The Lancet. And I assume there will be more to come. People are blaming the open letter and the doctors who signed it of being one-sided, blind, and against Israel. She's a psychiatrist, by the way. Whenever you say the word peace, she says no. Just peace. You cannot use the word peace anymore without the word just. Identity as based on an ethical commitment can maintain its openness to the others, unlike identity based on nationality and separation. The militarization of the Israeli mind and the military action are distancing Israeli society from its social issues and contribute to the loss of society's ability to confront these issues. The right of Israel to protect itself from destruction does not give it the right to oppress Palestinian people. Oppressed people are bound to resist severe violation of their human rights. I want to point to a fundamental issue omitted in Manduka and colleagues' letter. The root cause of the ongoing tragedy is Israeli occupation of Palestinian land and people and the suffocating siege imposed on Gaza. There are Israeli and Jewish groups on the side of justice who call for removal of the Gaza siege and the end of Israeli occupation of Palestinian land to achieve peace and security for all. These groups include Physicians for Human Rights, the B'Tselem in Israel, and Jews for Justice for Palestinians and Jewish Voice for Peace Abroad. Those and some other groups are thinking in a radical way, meaning that we see the root of the violent situation and struggle to change it. I do not accept the term extremist that I hear and read too often, because there is a huge difference between being radical and being extremist.
Blanche Cook, this is just one of the most disgusting moments in human history. And I'm an historian and a biographer. So I went to history. And there are a couple of really incredible, prescient statements that warn all of us about what it would mean if Israel did not, if the Zionists did not deal justly with the Palestinians. And as we all know, they didn't. And they didn't over and over again. Not in 1948 during the Nakba, not in 1956, not in 1967, not in 2008. We could go on, 2012, and this. But I got caught reading about Einstein because I'm writing the third volume of Eleanor Roosevelt, and Einstein is sort of important to Eleanor Roosevelt. So I wanted to see what he said. And there's this really great book edited by Fred Jerome, is Einstein on Israel and Zionism, in which he says, unless there is peace and justice built into this structure, it is going to be war forever. And so here we are. And I think one of the most astonishing things is, you know, except for a very small group of us, you said you felt lonely. Here in the United States, except for our small group, the silence beyond repair, as I called it in volume two, when there was no outrage about what was going on in Nazi Germany against Hitler's categories of lives not worth living, not just Jews, but communists, unionists, single infertile women, gays, Roma, and so on. And so this silence, we have to break it. And I'm very grateful to all of you for being poets and writing poetry and inspiring all of us.
Reverend Katrina Foster concluded this program devoted to victims of the 2014 Gaza War with prayer.
Almighty God, deliverer, protector, and advocate of the injured and suffering, when the foundations of the earth are shaking, give strength to all your people to uphold justice and safeguard the rights and lives of all, especially the most vulnerable in society. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray not for Arab or Jew, nor for Palestinian or Israeli, but pray rather that we might not divide them in our prayers, but keep them together as one humanity in our hearts. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of justice, bless our Christian, Muslim, and Jewish sisters and brothers who work for peace through justice. Strengthen our resolve to advocate for an end to the occupation and to the hostilities between Israelis and Palestinians in the face of seemingly endless violence and tragedy. Guide the leaders of the nations of the Middle East to know your will and to support a just peace for all your children. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful God, we cry to you from the depths of our beings for all those wrongfully imprisoned or held captive, for those trying to secure their release, that the ways of peace and diplomacy may prevail over acts of violence and aggression, that their captors may know a change of heart through the one who was sent to proclaim liberty for captives and to set free those who are oppressed. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
This is East End, Inc. We heard a program recorded in August 2014 at the Incarnation Lutheran Church in Watermill, New York. Heard were Kathy Engel, Pamela Kalamanis, Kimberly Wilder, Sigrid Meinel, Claire Koss, Blanche Wiesen-Cook, and the former minister at Incarnation Lutheran Church, Reverend Katrina Foster. The program was dedicated to the victims of the Gaza War, which began in July 2014. Before the war ended on August 23rd, at least 2,125 Gazans were killed and over 10,000 were wounded, including over 3,000 children. 66 Israeli soldiers and 5 Israeli civilians were killed. The UN estimated that in the tiny Gaza enclave, more than 7,000 homes for 10,000 families were razed, and roughly 10,000 homes were severely affected by the bombing. Here are some upcoming free literary events on the East End. On Saturday, December 30th at 5 p.m., Canio's Books at 290 Main Street in Sag Harbor presents Commas and Cooking, with Emily Nunn, author of The Comfort Food Diaries, and New Yorker editor Mary Norris, author of Between You and Me, Confessions of a Comma Queen. On Sunday, January the 14th, the Unitarian Universalist Meeting House on Sag Harbor Bridgehampton Turnpike in Bridgehampton will host Racial Justice East End with a discussion of Brian Stevenson's book, Just Mercy. More events are listed at canyosbooks.com. East End, Inc. is heard on the fourth Wednesday each month. Programs are archived at eastendinc.blogspot.com. Today's program was produced by Tony Ernst with the aid of Reverend Katrina Foster. This is Hazel Kahn.